So before we hear the Dvar Torah of our Bat Mitzvah, a word about this morning's reading. Something about the most peculiar of the Ten Commandments. Because after the opening declaration, I'm the Lord your God, all the commandments are action-oriented. Don't murder. Don't steal. Do this, do that, and then you get to the last one, which is don't covet. In other words, don't want things. And all of a sudden, the Torah is not legislating your actions, it's legislating your emotions. Can you imagine watching the ads in the Super Bowl and not coveting? I mean, what kind, first of all, the whole engine of the capitalist economy would ground to a halt if everybody observed the Tenth Commandment. So what is the Torah intending to teach us? As you can imagine, the rabbi struggled with this. Their first conclusion, which is the one that makes the most sense given the context of the other commandments, is it's trying to tell you not to do things to acquire that which you shouldn't have. Right? Because it says don't covet your neighbor's property and your neighbor's spouse and so on. So what it really means is that you shouldn't take steps to try to illicitly get, illegally get, immorally get things that don't belong to you. But that's not what the commandment says. It says don't covet. It doesn't say don't take steps to get stuff that you shouldn't have. And presumably, God is articulate enough to say what God means. The second attempt, which is actually a very clever attempt by Ibn Ezra, though, as you can tell, it's not where I'm going to end up. The second attempt is Ibn Ezra says, you know, you don't covet things that you know are impossible for you to have. Nobody covets ownership of the galaxy. Nobody wants, he says, in his world, remember that he lived in the medieval world, he says, no peasant covets marrying the princess because he knows it's impossible. You could never marry the princess. So he says, you should think of your neighbor's possessions the same way the peasant thinks of the princess. That is, because they belong to my neighbor, they're impossible for me, and so I won't covet them. It's good. It's clever. But I like a Hasidic comment from a couple hundred years much better. Because, you know, in Hebrew, the Ten Commandments are not called the Ten Commandments. Someone should point that out to the Supreme Court when they legislate all these questions about whether the Ten Commandments should be shown. In Hebrew, they're not called that. In the Torah, they're not called the Ten Commandments. They are called Aseret HaDivarim, which means the ten words or ten sayings. And ten sayings are different from Ten Commandments. And the last one, therefore, doesn't have to be a commandment. And in fact, one Hasidic tradition teaches that it's not a commandment. What it is a promise. If you live your life according to all the other commandments, then you will not covet that which you shouldn't have. In other words, the commandments are not only an education in action, they're an education in wishing. That if you live a good enough life, you will discover that that which you dream of and that which you wish for is good for you and you should have, as opposed to wishing and dreaming for things that you don't need, you shouldn't have, are destructive to your character. The Greeks told a story about Socrates that as he walked by the market in luxury goods, he said, look at all the things in the world that I don't want. Love to see Socrates at Neiman's, wouldn't you? So that last commandment may be better thought of not as a commandment, but as a promise. If you live a certain way, it will not only change your actions, it will reshape your soul so that you want what you should want. It doesn't always work, but it is a beautiful idea. So let's bring everybody in as we turn.